What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Okay, this is episode 275 and
275. We've done 275 episodes in five days.
And we have a Geico pre-read, and we have the maxi pad mid-show.
They still make those?
No idea. No idea.
Wait, do we have to take a break?
I haven't had a nosebleed in a while.
No, we don't have a mid-show that I'm aware of.
It's funny because this week we literally had mid-show on the other ones. But that's why I was asking.
And it was maxi pads?
No, I don't think it was, but it was some sort of Valentine bullshit that had already ended.
Oh, it was that. Yeah, they had me do that read for last week's show. And it was like, wait a minute. Valentine's is over. What are they promoting this for now?
There was some Valentine's podcast that...
Anyways.
Whatever, it's dumb.
All righty. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Shift and Steer, and everybody's everywhere. I know that Aaron's out of his shop. He tried to get away from the snow. Now he's got a battle getting back to the snow. Matt's in the Matt cave, and he's trying to get that place dialed in. He'll give you a little update on it. And me, I'm just sitting on the curb out in front of my favorite Mexican restaurant in the world, which is called El Indio down in San Diego. I drove the Jaguar I-Pace down there. And if you ever get down there, it's right across from the airport. This place rocks. It's really, really good. So
is it real? Is it real Mexican food?
Yes, it really is. They literally make the... the tortillas and the chips and everything right there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
fresh tortillas like that. Best.
I've taken so many people there. Bob Harrow, a big BMX guy and a friend of mine, years ago, I took him there and he grew up in San Diego. And he was like, I never heard of this place, dude. I'm coming back. I mean, it's really good. I took Dave Merrick there and he said he's gone back a couple times when he's been down there on business and taking other people there. And
they have a good bar too.
Well, you know, what's funny about this place, when I used to go there, growing up when I lived in San Diego as a kid, all it was a little hole in the wall. They didn't even have any place to sit. You had to sit outside where I'm at right now and eat. And they didn't sell even sodas. You had to go to the liquor store next door and buy something to drink or a bottle of beer. Well, eventually they bought the liquor store and now they've got everything indoor seating. And
Dave's flying out of San Diego now. Hits the restaurant real quick and then jumps over to the airport and off he goes.
That's it, man. That's it. So, who's helping us do this show today, Maddie?
Yeah, our friends at Geico, you know, we talked about owning a home or renting a home, and it can be quite a bit of work, but you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because we already know you have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
What's up, guys? This is Max here, and I'm really excited to invite you to watch my Color Vision Deluxe Experience live concert on Live by Live this February. It's going to be brilliant. We're playing Blueberry Eyes, Lights Down Low, Love Me Less, all the songs off my album. I hope you can join us. Tickets at livexlive.com/max, and I'll see you February 27th, only on Live by Live.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places, with your host, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
I'm gonna brag for just 1 second.
And, again?
And because I'm looking at this paperwork in front of me, I'm looking at the Monroney, okay, which is the window sticker.
Oh, here we go.
Of a car I'm going to head out and drive as soon as we wrap this show. And I'll start with this. The exterior package option on this car is $80,000. And the interior package is $60,000. Anybody guessing what the car is?
I know. Can I guess?
I thought it was a Monroney. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah. It's a Monroney.
Okay, it has an 8-liter quad turbo W16 engine.
Bugatti?
The new Bugatti Pure Sport, the Chiron Pure Sport. And this is funny. It says Pure Sport Split in the options. I don't even know what that means, what the split means. But the option is $220,000. So this car is $3.959 million.
You're driving it tomorrow?
I'm driving it today, right after we did.
Oh, okay.
What is it? You get it for a couple hours?
Yeah, they've been doing a couple of driving events, media press driving events. And you go to a hotel, somebody from Bugatti is there, and he drives with you.
What's its top speed, Matt?
Actually, this... They don't usually list performance specs on the window sticker, but this says 261 mile an hour top speed, 0 to 60 in says sub 2.5 seconds, and a few other specs. It's got a 7-speed twin clutch DC DSG transmission in it. It's all wheel drive, front axle lift, launch control. It's got a body hydraulic system. We'll figure out what that means. Different sport modes and handling modes. Navigation package. Sirius XM radio. Ooh, 4 years included. Not bad for $4 million.
That's nuts, man. Yeah.
4 years of, let's see. It's going to have carbon fiber seats, carbon fiber Alcantara interior. 10-spoke magnesium wheels.
Great for bumpy roads.
You know, the carbon ceramic brakes and a carbon fiber monocoque and carbon fiber anti-roll bars. That's interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. And, you know, we said this before, and I brought it up, I think, on CarCast this week, was I talked about how, you know, you buy a car like this for $4 million and it costs $30,000 to do the brakes and it's $1,700 for an oil change. And then Brad, you were saying that Ferrari has stepped up their game with the scheduled maintenance stuff. And it's funny because when you go in there, I don't know if you went in there or you just went in there with Mikey when he's buying his car, but the guy's like, what you're buying is the warranty and the maintenance program. You get the car for free. Right.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It handles everything.
And I was saying, you know, at $4 million for this car, just charge 4.1 or 4.2 and say everything is included. Well, it turns out, because the Veyron, I brought this up because the Veyron was so expensive. It turns out this has 4-year warranty with 4-year of maintenance included in this price now. So I think they've started to figure it out that nobody wants to spend $30,000 on a brake job on this car. Now, Adam Carolla brought up an interesting point. He goes, that ends up being a little bit of a bragging right. You go, look at this car. It's like, yeah, it costs 30 grand to do the brakes. It is bragging rights until you have to do the brakes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was saying it's always more fun when you're sitting there and you're ordering the car to check the boxes and go, oh, I want the $220,000 Pure Sport split package. And I want the $80,000, you know, exteriors package. If you check the box that said $100,000 maintenance package, you'll be okay with it. But 18 months into ownership and you go, oh, I got to pay $30,000 for brakes. It's $5,000 for a tire, probably each tire because they're custom made for that car. Like, wouldn't you rather just check off that $100,000 box when you were in a good mood and get the schedule made?
When you were really into it.
What
I can't relate to any of that.
After Matt, what was the sticker price on it again?
So the base price is 3.599. So it's 3.6 million. And with the options, it's $4
million. 3.9 or 4 million?
3.959.
Okay.
959. Okay. Nuts. Oh, are you checking?
I'm looking. I'm on DMV California and I'm checking to see how much the plates are going to cost me. Because that is what's got me like, you know, I can't imagine how much the license plates are. So I'm going to look here. I'm looking in Orange County. And we're going to look here. We live in, we'll just say.
Guess what? We're moving to Oregon.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. That's what everybody does, right? Okay, so we got that.
$40,000 registration.
And then we go 9275. Okay, calculate fees. Let's see what it comes up at.
This is annually. This is yearly. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although slowly go down in value.
It says
most likely not
that you are going to be paying a total use and sales tax of $306,823 and $332,872 with your registration fee. So
how much is just
$250,000?
But that's once. That's not annually.
Okay. Annually, no, you're going to be at $30,000.
Yeah. So annually, it's $30,000 in registration fees a year.
Yeah.
Just to own it.
Just to own it. Jeez. That doesn't include insurance.
I'll be doing non-op and paying the $400 ticket. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but the problem with that is when somebody hits you or you wreck the car and insurance goes, wasn't registered. We're not going to pay off.
Yeah.
But that's what's
that's
always
when you
amazing.
Pay off the insurance company for another $4,000.
Aaron, as you know, we have friends that have very expensive homes, and many of them have shared with me property taxes. And it's
just go. And that's just going up because they're reassessing. Yeah. Ugh, California's a mess.
I had a friend who put in a new, spent like $350,000 putting in a new boat dock in front of his home in Newport, and just the fee to the city of Newport was $30,000 just to get the permit. And then he had to pay to do it. It's just, you know, it's first world problems.
It's platinum problems. Right? Yeah.
Yes, platinum problems.
In a first world.
But I just thought that would be interesting because that puts it all in perspective. The guy who, because you know, the guy who has that car, he's probably got, he's also got his Mercedes and his wife has the Range Rover and, you know, so they've got a lot of.
Well, you know what they say, boys? It's expensive to be rich.
That's right. Right? So, that will be fun, Matt. So are you going to say, let's go to Santa Barbara and back? It's fast enough.
I'm going to try. I'm going to see what they're going to let me do. But
that's going to go. Can we go register it just for fun?
Matt, should we do a viral video? What we do is we get it all planned. You plan the route. And Aaron and I will put on masks because we're going to have to wear them anyway. And when you stop somewhere to take a photo, we'll carjack you.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll film it.
It's not my car. This would be the easiest carjacking in the world. I'd be like, all right, here you go. Take the keys.
I know, but the guy will be like, oh, crap, they're carjacking it, and I'm responsible for it.
Take the Bugatti driver with you.
We take we it want and the we driver. Return it to Bugatti.
Yeah. Anyway, so
are you guys going to drive through a Chick-fil-A?
I hope so. You know, there was a funny thing years ago when we started CarCast, a buddy of mine, we were doing these test drive-throughs. Instead of a test drive, it's just test drive-through. And whatever car we had, we ended up bringing it to the drive-through.
Oh, that's funny.
And I think we had the Mercedes AMG SLS Gullwing at the time. Right. And it was perfect. It was like clockwork. We went through the drive-through, ordered it, rolled up to like the window, and she was like, "Would you like to supersize it for a dollar more?" We're like, "No, we're not made of money." As we're rolling down the tiny window in the side of the car to get our small Coke,
you put the drink in sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we did that bit for a while, which years ago, which is kind of
what you got to do is find a restaurant in LA that's like, the sign out front is, "We have the sloppiest sandwiches in America," or something, and pull up with the Bugatti and go, "White interior. I want to grab something to eat. Do you mind if I eat in the car?" That's what the guy is there for, to make sure that you just toe the line. But it would be cool. So,
little update on the man cave, as the Matt cave. I talked to the guys over at Metron Garage and put together a sketch for a mezzanine, sort of a freestanding mezzanine, about 220 square feet. We're trying to configure where the stairs are going to go. Of course, the stairs have to be to code, and everything has to be to code. And even though it's a freestanding unit, and just the way this place is shaped, it's not very wide. So if the stairs stick out too far, you won't be able to drive a car past to work on it. So getting that figured out, it's looking pretty good. But I got some gear. If you guys saw on Instagram, I said the, in a little what's in the box.
What's in the box?
And the answer is it's the new air compressor from Eastwood, but it's got one of their, rotary engines, twin scroll engines that are supposed to be quieter. If you guys are floating around, if you go to the Eastwood website and then go to any social media account because of the ad tracking, you're going to get 100 ads for the Eastwood ad where the guy's like, he's like, "Which one of these air compressors is the loudest one?" And he goes and turns off the normal air compressor. He's like, "Hey, this one's still running," and you don't even notice it. It's pretty legit. I got the new.
So it's running right now, is what you're saying.
It's probably running right now. I'm going to chase it. But it's pretty compact. It seems pretty durable, and it's fairly quiet. I mean, it's not silent, but nowhere near, you know, I mean, if it was running in the background, you would hear it a little bit in the background, but we would still be able to have this conversation. Good luck trying to do that with a normal.
And you installed that specifically because the Matt cave is going to have, instead of one of those floppy gorillas like the car places have, you've got a Robin out front that it's like the Batman and Robin with a cape and
with the cape. Well, I did notice because these buildings, they're kind of like, you know, condo warehouses, a little like what you guys got out there, Brad, with your place. It was just built as a giant building, and then only the front and rear. Yeah, the front and rear are the block walls. The rest of this is just drywall, right? So
that's
my
weird.
My neighbor goes in over there. I mean, I see the beams, like I got kind of a round pole going through. When my neighbor's in there and he fires up his music, I hear him playing his music. I hear him packing stuff over there, you know, wow. And I don't know if he's just banging on the wall or what, but I mean, it's not too loud, but he's definitely, I can hear him in there.
Yeah.
And the guy next door is like a wine warehousing distributor, and he's just got floor to ceiling industrial shelves and a forklift in there. But his wall is pretty much lined with shelves with boxes stuffed with stuff and cardboard. So he almost created himself like a 2-foot like sound barrier between. So
oh,
I don't really
yeah.
hear his. He's I don't insulated. Really hear. Yeah.
Because
he's just completely stacked with boxes. So I don't really hear his forklift, but this guy next door to me, who's the car guy, does the carbon fiber body stuff. He's got a lot of shelves in the back and along the side, and he packs up carbon fiber wings and wide body kits. And I can hear him doing that, but his place is kind of like mine where it's still pretty empty.
Huh.
You know, so it's kind of interesting. We'll see.
Hey, if you don't mind, ask your neighbor if he's got a front lip for a Cayman S.
Yeah. I don't think Cayman, he does do like, he does do E46 BMW. He's got crazy wide body.
No more.
Yeah,
those are gone.
Yeah. I'm also doing my mezzanine, as you know, but I'm fabbing mine up. All the steel came in for it. And this past weekend did all the measuring. I got up my laser and we measured everything and found out where we're going to mount the posts. And so the next step is we're cutting all the base plates, and then we're going to weld the main uprights to the base plates. And I left the thing out. What we're going to do is we're going to cut all the base plates. We're going to drill them. Then we're going to place them where they go, drill all the holes in the floors, install the studs, and then we'll weld them together so that we're not sitting there trying to muscle this huge piece of steel.
Right.
And then once all the uprights are in place, then the crossbars, the outer square and the crossbars will go in. And we do that with a laser. You know, it goes on with a magnet. You get it lined up and you do one at a time, because the crossbars will have tabs that are pre-drilled. We mark it, take everything out, drill all the holes, come back in and bolt everything in. And then it's a matter of, you know, laying the floor and all that. But so far, so good. We're, you know, everything looks like it's going to fit. And then our stairway, we're lucky, Matt, because it's going to be against a wall. And it's a dead wall anyway, because it's where all the alarm and the phone equipment and all that stuff is. But I'm trying to decide whether to do a single or a double beam. The single beam looks really cool and architectural because you just have that one I-beam coming down and the steps. However, I started calculating, and although it looks nice, I think two I-beams with the stairs welded between them is probably a little more practical, as well as it's less expensive, because we don't have to fabricate every one of those little stair tabs, weld them and do all that. But, we're getting there. Hopefully by the time you are moving out of your building, I'll have my mezzanine done.
Hey, Brad, a quick little word of advice. When you're drilling into that concrete, shop vac, make sure it's clean to suck up that dust, because that dust is so fine, it'll blow right through your filter. So go and get a really good filter for your shop vac. Cause when we were drilling the hole in my concrete for my lift, man, it was horrible. I ended up taking a wet towel and putting it in my shop vac. And I mean, it was just cause I had a fairly new shop vac, which I thought had a clean filter, and man, it just blew right through it and just came out all over the shop.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. That's a good note, because you're right. Yeah, it is really fine. When we did,
it is. It's gypsum too, which you don't want to breathe. You don't want to breathe. So just, you know, a thought.
So what you're saying is have Rick do that.
Yeah, right.
Well, it'll get all over everything, and that stuff is really abrasive. So if you get dust, all that dust on your cars, and you go to wipe it off, it's going to scratch the shit out of everything.
It kind of makes you think, do you want to wet the ground a little first? Do you want to put some wet, you know, rags or something on the ground to at least, as you're drilling and all that, just put, you know, because if you think about it, if the ground was wet, or if you put rags in, you pick them up and you throw them away. But if the ground was even a little bit wet, maybe it'll stick. And then when you suck it up, it's got a little bit of a,
yeah, it still gets really airborne because it's not like a normal drill where it just hogs out a hole. You know, it's almost like it's a hammer drill, you know,
it's a masonry,
hammer drill. And it actually gets that stuff pretty airborne.
And the other thing is that you do want to keep all of that dust out of the hole. You know, yeah. they actually say when you're doing it, take an air hose or something and keep blowing it out, because it'll fill up the hole and you won't ever get anywhere. But and two of the posts go down through they go along a wall that fall into an office space, and we're going to paint those the color of the wall. So we got to peel back the carpet, drill the holes, then cut the carpet around it. And, you know,
yeah, I was going to ask, cause you talked about the mezzanine being in your back shop and then going over some of your offices. Are you taking out all the drop ceiling? What are you doing with all the wires for the drop ceiling?
Just snipped all that stuff. Is that a problem? I mean,
it's probably fine for you.
No, there's a good 1.5 foot gap below the bottom of the mezzanine and the top of the ceiling, because when you do this, you've got to look at everything that's there. And we have some junction boxes that stick up like 12 inches. So we had to make sure that the lowest point of the bottom was the highest point of anything that was there. So the drop ceiling is only, it's all, regular wood construction where the mezzanine's going, except for one hallway. And that hallway is drop ceiling. So what we're doing is we're going to remove it while we construct, you know, all the ceiling tiles, all the lights, leave just the crossbars. And what you do is you actually go in, you unhook all the wires, and then when you get it done, you hook it to the bottom of the mezzanine, and it doesn't go all the way up to the beam of the warehouse. It just goes to the underside of the mezzanine. Then you reinstall everything. And the wires that are there are phone wires and DSL lines. The DSL lines are inactive now because we're, of course, like everybody, we've gone wireless. And the phone lines pretty much are long enough you can just kind of push to the side and get around it. So there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of looking at everything. Like we have, like a lot of warehouses, our hot water heater is up above the bathrooms. And so we had to take that into account, and we're going to cut the floor around it and then get one of those cages like you see out at parks and like at my business park and like that, so that people don't hack and steal the expensive plumbing. You know, those cages, we're going to put one of those over it just so that nothing falls on it. Nothing gets against it, you know, anything like that. So, but it's all the little things, right? It's like building anything. It's all in the details.
Yeah. By the way, if you try to get electricity up there, I had an electrician come out to this place and said, I need to add some outlets onto the back wall. They wanted $2,800.
What? Whoa, yeah. Man, you must live up in LA County. So
$2,800 to add a few more.
No, dude, you can go to Harbor Freight and buy those LED flashlights and tape them to the beam above.
Nah, just run some extension cords.
Extension cords. There you go. Now, I'm actually very fortunate because my building actually already has lighting up there because of the fact that the hot water heater's up there, and there's already a wood floor over the bathrooms that was meant for storage. There's a ladder and a wood area, and that was kind of the extra storage. So we're fortunate because that can I'm just going to put in a couple LED lights that'll just brighten it up, because, you know, I don't need it to, I'm not living up there.
But you guys are really fancy, and you're really bumming me out, because I just have some 2x4s across my beams, and I just keep some boxes up there and use a ladder. That's my brosazine.
A lot of guys do that with their Christmas decorations, Aaron. So it's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, look, I do have a couple green and red boxes, but they're not Christmas stuff. It's just, you know.
You probably got a nice setup there.
Actually, I do have one hanging, yes. Dude, but it's a little more than a 2x4. I think it's an 8x8. Yeah.
At my house. Anyway.
Literally.
At my house, as you guys know, I've got my one nice garage. It's all finished off. It's all drywall.
I've never been to your house, Brad. I don't know.
You haven't?
Because your guest room's never available, so I haven't been there. true story. Yeah.
Anyways, commiserate with Mike. Mike said to me, I've only been to your house like once, Brad. So I said, well, you can come by anytime. But,
he's like, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying, I've only been there
yeah,
once.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you want to come to that?
Yeah.
You haven't been there, Matt?
No.
Heather Storm, Heather Storm was always asking to come by and use my pool. And and Dave was like, you don't want Heather to come over and use your pool? I'm like, no, I don't like people at my house, man. What's the deal? You know?
Yeah.
So anyways, but the main garage that's tied to the house, it's still just, you know, a garage. I never drywalled it. I never did anything. And like you said, you know, up in the rafters, you put some wood up there, you know, some plywood, you slide it up in the rafters, screw it down, and then you can put whatever you want up there. And
screw it down.
Yeah, screw it down. Well, I was not that long ago, I looked up and I noticed that after like 10, 15 years, that it's kind of bowing, right? And I went, you know, maybe I should go up there and kind of look around. And then I realized how much stuff I'd shoved up there. I'm going, crap, I'm glad that didn't fall down on my cars. Because I had like the entire interior of my 69 Camaro up there. I had, you know.
That's heavy.
You just go on. Stuff. That you just keep pushing them. And you keep pushing the other stuff farther back, you know. I don't know how much weight I had up there. I'm like, lucky the whole place didn't implode, you know. So we'll have a party at my house, okay? So you guys can all come right. over.
We're going to party at your house.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Can we talk about this Porsche GT3 for a minute?
Oh, we talked about it the other day. You and I did, Matt.
Always up for a GT3.
The new GT3, based on the 992 platform, was unveiled by Porsche, and it's badass. Like, it's wide body, yeah. It's got some cool vents in the front of the hood, and the wing's kind of badass. Of course, the GT3 is the naturally aspirated rear wheel drive version of the cars. They're basically saying they took the engine out of one of their cup cars and they put it into this, and obviously not exactly the same, but pretty close, because
it's
difference, detuned. It's like 5 horsepower less.
It's 8 horsepower and 1 pound-feet of torque less than the cup car, 800 horsepower. Yeah. So the new GT3 4-liter, of course, flat 6 engine. It's got individual throttle bodies on it, which I'm sure you won't be able to see, but it's nice to know that they're there. 502 horsepower.
Yeah.
Dry sump oiling, 9,000 RPM red line.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
I know. You can get it with the PDK transmission or a 6-speed manual.
Yeah.
And with the PDK, it's 0-60 in 3.2 seconds. It tops out 197 miles an hour.
Respect.
But it's pretty badass. The optional carbon ceramic brakes are, I think, 16.1 inches in the front, 15.4 in the rear.
That's why it has 20 and 21 inch wheels, just to get around those lights.
Yeah, it does. And it's got quite a bit of rubber on there, but I mentioned earlier that I drove the GT3, the previous one, at Speed Vegas around the track. And that thing was awesome to drive. This new GT3 went around the Nürburgring 17 seconds faster than the previous gen version.
Same driver?
And I think so. I don't know exactly.
But he had lost some weight.
But, you know, but Porsche tried to do sort of an apples to apples comparison. But also, it just barely broke the 7-minute barrier, ran a 6:59. And anything 7 minutes, sub-7 minutes, is just fast around that thing. So new Porsche GT3 is badass. If you can get one, they start about $150,000.
Come on. Well, let's calculate the plates on that. It would be a fraction of the Bugatti. So
yeah, about 15,000 in tax.
a year. So now let's talk about what the plates would be on the car that's going to cross at Barrett Jackson in March.
Okay.
I think we were all there the year that it sold originally, weren't we?
Probably.
When yes, Ron now, Pratt bought it.
I know where you're getting at, and not to burst your bubble, but technically in Arizona, you can register it as a collector car, emissions free. You'd still have to buy the plates, but you don't have to do the emission stuff, and you can get your plates 5 years in advance. But
well, you can, but the problem is that you'd have to pay sales tax there and bring it home, and the car is Carroll Shelby's personal Super Snake 427 Cobra. And when it sold originally, it sold for $5.5 million. And yeah. Ron Pratt bought it. We were there and we were like, whoa. Now Carroll was still around. He was still alive back then. And that car, I remember, I mean, the whole entire place was on their feet because it just kept going and going and going. And Carroll had a big smile on his face. And he stopped everything and he told the story of how, you know, way back when this was just a Cobra, not a million-dollar Cobra, that he had gotten pulled over by the Nevada Highway Patrol for doing 190 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. And,
yeah. In that actual car.
Do all his tear off.
Now, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're forgetting one item. 427, yes, but twin Paxton supercharged.
Yeah. Now, did you guys know there was one other car built just like it? One other twin Paxton Super Snake?
Did I hear that? Well, they made a handful, like 20 something of the big block cars, 23
right,
or something.
But two of them were the twin Paxton Supercharge, Carroll's car, and another one. And you know where the other one is?
No.
The bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Some dude died in that car on Highway 1. He drove off the cliff. I guess he was not as good as the car was, but anyway, went off one of those cliffs. And this was decades ago.
He
lost it. He died. And now see, back then they didn't try to recover the car. They just left the car and, I mean, you know, maybe go scuba diving where it happened and see if you can find it.
But somebody must have found it, right? Just for fun. Somebody must have went scuba diving for it.
I don't know.
Just to see what they can find.
According to everything I researched, they said the car was lost. So, you know, they said it went off.
It's just an ocean. You're telling me you can't find it?
Yeah.
Well, it's near a freeway.
Yeah. I mean,
So that one went off. But, you know, when Ron Pratt sold it in 2017, he got $5,115,000.
What did he pay?
He paid $5.5 million, so he lost some money on it. Okay. But Ron probably, you know, he sold his entire collection that year, you know, and, you know, so, you know, he could probably use the tax write-off, you know, guys like that. So, but the question is, what do you think it'll go for this year? You know, because people are buying lots of stuff. It's the only one in the world.
Yeah.
And it still holds the record to this day as being the highest priced ever paid at a public auction for a Shelby.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, honestly, my feeling on it is I think it'll get the money, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to go much more than that. I think it was priced high originally, you know, twice now in the $5 million range. I still feel like it's a $5 million range.
Yeah.
Also, it's not like a decade's gone by since this car has been sold a couple of times. It hasn't really had time to marinate. But people shopping in that price range, they have the money to do it. They understand the value of it. And all of the car auctions, I've talked to a few of the people recently, you know, Gooding and stuff, and move all their auctions online. They're all doing surprisingly well.
Yeah,
they do have a couple of old school clients that have called and, you know, bid on a car online for $1 million. And they called up later and they're like, hey, you know, I would have never have purchased $1 million car online. And he goes, but it was fine. It was like with pre-pandemic, they wouldn't have done it. You know, and in talking to groups like them, like Gooding, they were saying, you know, they were moving to online auctions, not exclusively, but they were going to do online auctions eventually. They were gearing up to get it done. And they just said that the pandemic has sort of sped up their timetable, but they're all doing very well. So I don't think economically it makes sense to look at the car auctions and go, hey, everything's been down. This car's going to go for $3.2 million. It's going to take a huge hit. I think it gets 5 million range. I don't see why it wouldn't. It's been proven twice that that's what the car is worth.
Yeah. 5. That's 2. What I'm thinking too. Yeah.
I think 5.2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think based on everything that you said, Matt, and I think the reason it got 5.5 when it did was Carol was there. And you were buying the car, but you were also buying the enthusiasm and you were buying the fact that you went out and you got the photo with Carol. And I remember Carol went over to Ron Pratt's and, you know, so there was a lot more there. But there are a lot of people that we know that are huge Shelby collectors. I mean, you know, they will pay for that and they have the money to do it. And there's also collectors that are, you know, like we know Bruce Meyer, who they want to have that car. You know, I'm not saying he wants that car, but Bruce always collects the car that, you know, won
Le Mans winning car,
the car. Yeah. And he has one of Carol's, you know, personal cars also. And there's those people that want that particular car that has that provenance. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It'll be in March and, you know, we'll have a chance to take a look at it. And I'm going to go over. I don't know if you guys are. I'm going to be there and definitely.
I'd like to go this year. Hey, speaking of Shelby, so a buddy of mine, an old time friend of mine, who's I'm in Napa right now and he's in Santa Rosa. He's close by. And he posted that. I don't know if he was at the collection or it was just a repost of someone's video, but I will share it with you guys and tell me if you recognize the collection. It's wall to ceiling of Shelby, of Cobras, of Mustangs.
Are they on the pallet racks?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've
seen
that.
And it's just the floor. It's, I'm just going, whoa. I mean,
oh, but he's out here. He's out here.
I have no idea. Like I said, I don't know if my buddy reposted someone else's post or whether he was there. He's in Santa Rosa, and it said Santa Rosa in tech. But
maybe it's on a different
location. But I don't know where it is. But yeah, it was just wall to wall, floor to ceiling, quite literally on lifts on two post lifts that are against the wall and have those little platforms that come out, you know, and they're three cars high. And it was just Cobras on Cobras on Cobras, Mustangs on Mustangs on Mustangs.
The strangest way I've never seen cars on.
Yeah, right.
Not yeah, like sitting like, on pallet racks, so but the wheels were hanging. It was like it was like just the two arms were holding them, and I'm going,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I mean, we're talking there was 20 or 30 of them. I mean,
easy.
It was crazy.
So you saw that too.
There's
what
a guy.
The heck?
There's a guy out here, and I forgot his name. And he's the Cobra guy. I think he lives in like La Cañada near Pasadena. He's got a bunch of Cobras. I haven't been over there yet, but he's everybody in, you know, everybody locally knows him as the Cobra guy.
Yeah. Well, maybe
that's him.
Yeah. Maybe that's it here. I'll pull it up here.
It's pretty amazing. Cause there's a guy in the Midwest that called me once for one of my watches, because we used to do all of the official Carol Shelby watches. If you had a CSX number, you could get that on the serial number. Yep, that's the one that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And
I mean, insane.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, that's
storage
that's
system.
A lot of cars right there, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of cars.
But
I mean, not to be redundant.
And we did the watches for the Series 1 and they all had Carol's signature. And out of the blue, this guy called me about 3 years ago and he goes, "Hey, I've got one of the largest Shelby collections in America." And he was somewhere on the East Coast and he He goes, do you have those? I said, we haven't done those watches for years. I said, but let me check. And I did have a few in the warehouse and got them out of the safe and sold him one. And he sent me a picture. It's under a glass case in his museum, you know. But
did you charge him double, like Brad? That.
What's that?
Did you charge him double? Is that how you got your mezzanine paid for?
Damn right. I mean, that was a rare watch and can't get it anywhere else. I mean,
Yeah, these guys are saying that this is in Central California.
Really?
Yeah, maybe
like some of the comments. Yeah, Windsor. So I don't know.
Maybe different it's guy. Maybe it's a different guy.
You know, there are so many collections around that just
how many Cobras could be? Mind. How many Cobras could there be though?
Right? I know. That's what I was thinking. It's like this guy's hogging them all. But
it'd be funny if that whole collection is just like super performance cars, like which is a nice car, but it's like, why do you need?
Imagine that they're all.
Why do you need 60 of them?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine that they're all you know original cars, but I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys know that I've been on this kick for a Kawasaki KZ. I want to thank the listeners because I've had a number of you guys reach out, and I may have found a bike. In Detroit, it's not a 900 or a 1000. So I am still looking for a 900 or 1000, but Sky Auto had a KZ 750. And, so we kind of dealt on it. Now I'm just trying to figure out shipping. And, I just love those bikes. They're just so cool. And it's kind of funny because, Shige, who owns Moon Eyes, he posted a photo for me of his KZ, his Z900, which is like the bike everybody wants. And, you know, there's this huge subculture in Japan, here in America, and in England of these bikes. And they're just because they're the muscle cars of motorcycles back in the 70s and early 80s. And they're just really cool. So thanks, everybody who's been reaching out to me. As soon as I get my bike or find the,
I don't know. It seems like Detroit to California, Aaron can make that trip on a bike.
Yeah.
Hell, Aaron can just hook up a trailer and go, man. Hey, I asked
the bike Siri.
I've got a hitch carrier. So yeah.
I asked Siri, I went, hey Siri, how far is Detroit, Michigan? And she goes like, traffic's light. You could make it in, you know, and I'm like, okay,
6 days, 4 hours.
Yeah, a little far, you know. It's a, but we're looking at.
I can turn down to my buddy at Reliable and see if he's out there at all. But with the weather right now, I wouldn't imagine many people are doing cross country.
Not in any hurry. I mean, it's not like it has to be here tomorrow. I mean, it's, but no, it's. And then I had a guy up in Seattle that had a KZ1000, gave me all this details, and then he said. And then I said, do you got any photos? And he goes, nope. I go, can you give me any details? Nope. And I'm like, then why'd you even get a hold of me? You know, it's like, but.
You know, Brad, renting vehicles and taking them out of California is expensive because so many people are leaving. But the other way isn't. You could fly to Detroit, rent a Tahoe, put your little mini bike in the back and truck it home.
Well, it would have to be on a trailer because it's not a mini bike. It's a full-size motorcycle. But
well, you're going to take it apart. Well, take the wheels off.
I thought that. And I'm all up for a road trip, but I would have more in fuel than it would charge me to ship it back. You know, so I'm looking at putting it on a pallet.
Brad, it's about the experience.
Yeah, Brad.
It is. But the experience.
Getting stuck in the snow. Sliding off that overpass into a snowbank.
Going through Milwaukee. I'm coming through Milwaukee and I go on that overpass and two people have plummeted 70 feet down. I would miss the snowdrift. Okay.
Hey, look, maybe somebody in Detroit is listening right now and they're freezing their ass off and they want to go on vacation. Pick up that motorcycle on the way, drive it out here. Brad will take you to El Indio, his favorite taco.
Hell
restaurant.
Yes, I will.
San Diego.
Hey, if somebody.
But you can't stay in his guest room.
No, you cannot go to his house. That's for sure. You got to leave that motorcycle a block away because no one's allowed in his house.
They can come to the building. You know, the building's fine. I let people in there. It's just at the house at Casa Fanshawe. We have too much security, and you know, we like to keep a low profile.
How much security could you have? A Toyota Tacoma went through your living room.
That's what it took.
Tried to break through.
That's what it took to break into Casa Fanshawe. So anyways,
took out a boat on the way.
God. And you know here's what's crazy, guys. That happened in July. I wanted to buy the boat back from it's totaled, but there's a few things I wanted. Try to buy it back from the insurance company. They say I gotta buy it, you know, from where it's at. It is still sitting in the dirt lot pending sale. And I'm like going, how long does it have to sit there in the sun, the snow? I mean, the rain, the dirt.
Make up your mind.
we're not in Texas. Before they sell this poor thing, you know? It's still there. Still just sitting in that place.
Yeah, because somebody keeps going back every evening and picking something off.
Yeah, right.
They want it there as long as they can.
That thing had a brand new stainless prop on it. Let's get that. Okay, boom. That has brand new, because as you guys know, I put 6 brand new tires on it. Those will be gone. The chrome fender will be gone. The supercharger will be gone. You know,
it's being picked apart as we speak.
Yeah. We're not pick apart, but it's being picked apart. So anyways, I saw before we go, I want to tell you, I saw the very first Bronco Sport out in the wild yesterday. And I was underwhelmed. The Bronco Sport, because we've seen all the press photos and we've seen the customized ones. They're raised up. They look cool. And this one just was so.
But the Bronco Sport, is that the one that's like the Escape or like the Explorer?
Yes. It's like an Escape.
I wouldn't think that would be like, oh my God.
No, and I'm not bagging on it. I'm just saying.
But it is cool when you get the off-roady version. If you get the plain chain version, the city version, but the off-road version, you know, that, you know, with all the good bits and stuff on it, it was fun to off-road in, and it does a hell of a lot more than you think it would.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Defender.
That's how it is. It's
like the Defender.
I was just going to say that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's exactly what I was going to say. I've been seeing those Defender 110s like crazy, and my wife keeps saying, look, it's still got the sticker on the side. I'm like, no, that's supposed to be there because it has the big white plate.
The
110s are very underwhelming, and I saw one at an intersection right next to a Discovery. And at a glance, I had to look twice to see which was which. So
I saw one yesterday and I had to look like, what? It was stock. It didn't have big tires on it. Didn't have anything, but it had that big snorkel scoop on it, you know, going up the side of the window so that you can go in deep water. and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Only if you have to, though.
No, but you know what I mean? And it looked so weird because it just looked like a bone stock vehicle with this giant plastic snorkel scoop going up.
Yeah.
And I thought,
I gotta say, the Wranglers are kind of the same way. Yeah, the Wranglers are the same way. When they have the little tires and little wheels, you're kind of like, you know, the Gladiators are kind of like, But the second you start tricking any of that stuff out, it really, really gets stellar.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, a quick note of a fact about snorkels. So snorkels aren't just for deep water. If you're on a dirt road, especially in Australia or somewhere where it's just dirt roads out in the outback, there's cleaner air above, because when you're driving with another vehicle, sometimes all the dirt runs low. Sometimes that air is elevated just to take in a cleaner source of air than what you're driving through as well. You've seen those big rooster tails of dust behind, you know, vehicles. So those raised air intakes are just that. They're raised air intakes. They're not only to go through deep water if you have to, but they're really to catch some cleaner air that's not low to the ground and in the dust.
This guy was just trying to get above the smog.
You are in SoCal smog. So I would say he's trying to get just above that threshold.
Every time I
cooler air as well.
Every time I see the snorkel, all I think of is the movie Dante's Peak with Pierce Brosnan trying to escape the volcano.
Because
he had it on his ram and he's going into the water.
And I was one of my favorite movies, man. I watch that so many times, it drives my wife nuts. She's looking at me right now like I'm nuts. Dante's Peak.
Yeah,
see, she went, oh.
That's what Charlotte says whenever I talk about KZs lately. Okay, and there's this one. She's, why don't you get the Camaro or the Chevelle
right,
or the Dragster? Hey, how you doing?
Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak.
True story.
True story.
My son and I watch it all the time. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
All right, guys. Let's say we wrap it up so I can go drive a Bugatti.
Hey, let's just keep talking because we're jealous. Hey, Matt, you know, we got about 2 more hours to go. So
You're breaking up, Brad. I'll just see you next week.
Lengthened show today. So, all right, everybody. Hey Matt,
let me ask a question. Do the seats go up far enough for you?
Oh, I bring a pillow.
We have booster pillows.
Yeah, Misha says that Bugatti has a very nice booster.
Misha's fire.
Hey, Matt, if they give you a swag bag or any kind of swag, you got to bring it in and show us next week, okay?
I don't know if I can afford a tax on that swag bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have fun, man. We're definitely jealous.
Yeah, it's jealous. I'm definitely jealous. It's a cool one to drive.
I'm going to be trying to get home to Tahoe because the weather changed. And we drove a little sports car with Cup 2 tires on it. So we're going to try to beat the weather going home so we don't get stuck.
Don't go Milwaukee in it. Don't do a Milwaukee, okay?
Oh, man, I tell you. Platinum problems.
Jeez, why go home? Just stay out.
Misha has a job. She has to open up a front of her store this weekend. And so she has responsibilities.
Close for the weekend.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd be happy to stay here, you know, and have a vineyard view.
All we can see is a blown out white light. So
sorry, I tried to touch it. It won't change the contrast.
We know that that's right, a salvage yard out that door. Don't tell me anything else.
There you go.
Matt, where can they
guys,
find
check
us,
us
online?
Out, check us out at shiftandsteer.com. That does look nice out there. See, why would you want to go back to Tahoe? All that wonderful stuff out there.
Well, I don't, but you know, my wife's got responsibilities.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
You know, they could tear that out and put a nice racetrack right there.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm in Sonoma, Napa County, so Sonoma Raceway is not too far away.
Yeah, exactly. Tear that.
Funny you say
that.
Tear that. Yeah, funny you say. There well, you know, to an RC truck, that is a racetrack. You just straight line it, you know. Little Larry Dixon action, get airborne.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's wrap it up, guys. Matt, where can they find us online, buddy?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com. We're on ShiftSteer Media and all social media. You can follow me at Moderator on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the social medias.
Cool. And you can find me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. Go there, check it out, and keep giving me information on KZ Motorcycles. Especially really good deals. That's what I'm looking for.
And you can find me on the side of the road traveling up 50 as soon as there's a little bit of snow.
Let's hope.
See you there.
Drive safe. And you guys drive safe and stay warm out there. I know a lot of people are suffering while we're dealing with a foot of snow.
Brutal.
So
we joke about it, but yeah, be safe, folks.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.